Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and apple sheep everywhere. It's Talos of Tech, and we're doing an audio podcast for the first time. It's been a long time coming, and that is now possible thanks to a fan, Nicholas, if that's okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I go by Nick for short, but that's fine. Whatever.
Yes, and this is not the Nicholas from Talos of Food.
Nope.
This is a different Nicholas. This is a very gracious fan who has offered, because he knows I'm so busy and I'm working on other stuff, to organize, edit, and post the podcast. So you audio listeners out there who wanted this, you can thank him for that. So thank you very much.
Of course.
Nicholas. And yeah, we can pretty much dive right into it. But they know me pretty well.
Yep.
So I thought maybe you could take some time to explain how you know me or how you got to know me or what's your backstory? Because they know me pretty well.
But yeah, they do. I'd hope they would.
Less familiar with. Yes. Right.
Well, I've been watching your videos since about this time last year, 26K, I think.
Wow.
So yeah, it's been pretty fun. Didn't really get too involved until like over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm a graduate student studying accounting in Denver.
Awesome.
Hoping to get my CPA. So that'll be fun.
And yes, a lot of things that business-wise that I didn't know about, you've been very helpful with. So,
of course,
I'm very, very grateful for your support in both Patreon as well as just knowledge.
A ton of
things I just don't know much about. So that's been great. So yeah, in these podcasts, it won't always be Nicholas, but hopefully a lot. I'm hoping to meet with other people and just have kind of verbal conversations that are tech-related. So today, for this podcast, I thought we'll both be covering different news topics and our opinions on them. And the one that Nicholas brought up, which I'm really glad you did, was that HDMI 2.0 was announced. And what does that do, Nick?
Well, HDMI 2.1 is a new standard.
2.1, sorry.
Yeah. 2.1. 2.0 is out. I think that was the one that supports 4K.
Yes.
4K at 60,
that,
I believe.
That 0.1 makes all the difference.
I know. This cable is going to be insane.
Yes.
So the current standard that they have announced, it's going to support 8K at 60 hertz.
Oh, my God.
Which is just insane. And then 4K at 120 hertz. That's almost...
This is a gaming device. It's the gaming port. We're reaching 120 hertz
at
4K.
Yeah.
Yes. Through a single port.
Yes, definitely. That's a huge port. And then also, it supports 10K HDR.
Oh, my God.
Which is just, like, another level of insanity.
And they didn't say the refresh rate on that one.
No, they didn't. But I'd have to assume that it wouldn't be very high. Like, if...
Yes.
24
if the 8K's
or...
at 60. Yeah. But, like, do they really work this far ahead, though, at this point? Where it's like... I don't think cameras shoot at that, and I don't even think monitors of that exist, and yet they're like, a port's ready.
Uh-huh.
Already. We can switch to that now.
Yeah.
What do you think? Like, you were asking me as a YouTuber, do you think this is excessive? And I think my fans know what I feel about it based upon my 8K thoughts, but what do you feel about 2.1, sorry.
Yeah, I feel like we're probably never going to notice the difference. You know, after 4K,
really?
You're probably not going to notice the difference all that much unless you're in a theater or something. Because the
exactly.
only application I could think of, like the big screen cinema, IMAX, new technology or something, using 10K.
Right. And they're displaying that above that now. So it's like, does the movie theaters and IMAX necessarily need ports on the projectors they're using? Like, or are they using their own in-house design hardware? I don't know how that works. Necessarily, but I'm sure MKBHD is psyched for this kind of thing
because
he of all people is going to be like, when do I make the switch to 10K video?
Just because.
Have you ever seen an 8K like display anywhere?
I have not, and I've only briefly seen a 4K video,
okay.
And it wasn't even scaled all the way up to 4K. I believe it was at 1080p scaled, so I don't even really have any experience in 8K.
So. Yeah, I don't think I've ever looked at an 8K monitor, and I don't think most consumers have.
Yeah, I think there might have been one. I don't remember what it was called.
There's very few on the market.
It was like a Sharp. Let me look it up.
There's a Dell one.
27 inch 8K HDR Sharp monitor.
Yeah, and I just think 8K, even at that size, at 27 inch, is even if a consumer was looking at that, they probably wouldn't realize that it's an 8K display. They would just look at it and think, Yeah, it's sharp. It looks good. But I mean, the visible difference between 4K and 8K is I can't even imagine, because I have a 4K TV for my Apple TV.
Yep.
And we got selected content on Netflix that will actually play it back, and that looks great. But you know, it's on a 55-inch display,
mm-hmm.
where it's noticeable. Whereas I can't even start to imagine 8K at 27. Yeah. I just think it's overkill.
Yeah.
Complete overkill.
But hey, idea that... 4K at 120 hertz. That's definitely a gaming device. Hey, hook that up to your 8K at 120 hertz Apple TV.
Yes. I mean, I don't think it'll do 120, but I could definitely see the application with especially all the hype we saw with the Razer phone,
mm-hmm.
That 4K is something gamers can adopt, and that's possible now even with Xboxes, that we would start seeing motherboards and gaming tech that would support HDMI 2.1. That I could start to understand. Because gameplay can reach those frame rates, and it can reach that if you have a powerful enough device. So now that, I guess we'd have monitors eventually in ports that can now do 4K at 120, yeah. I could see a little bit more usefulness there. But
yeah, still though, what's the cost difference? I mean, just now we're barely able to afford 8K, or sorry, 4K TVs at like a reasonable-ish price. It's like, I don't know, there's going to have to be quite the cost difference for quite a while.
Exactly. And I'm sure this cable probably costs a pretty penny too once it's available to consumers. Like even certain 4K high transfer rate HDMI ports are really up there. They can get pricey very quickly. So I imagine this doesn't reverse that process at all.
Probably not. Definitely not. Definitely not the $9 one you find on Amazon.
No, not at all. And this must not be possible with USB-C with Thunderbolt 3, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so.
Because if this is a new tech.
Yeah, the 15-inch MacBook Pro does a 5K display through one port. And I'm sure that's pretty maxed out, so I don't know.
Yeah, that is probably fairly maxed out. So this is something that I'm confused as to why they want to keep implementing it, though, in the same HDMI shape.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't they want to try to embed this into a USB? Maybe it's not possible. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know either. That'd make more sense. Final port.
Yes. I mean, I guess gamers care less about that. But because that's who I can only really see this being excited for. But, yeah, I don't think it's going to be coming onto any Apple tech anytime soon, given that iMacs don't have HDMI ports and MacBooks have ditched it, so...
Yep.
It's definitely like a gaming community thing, but it's cool that they can stuff that much data transfer into a port now.
Kind of crazy to think about.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and yet for our next topic that you were bringing up is that there appears to be like a lot of testing going on in terms of cars for Apple right now.
Yeah, that's pretty pretty fascinating. Apple just recently, it was discovered that Apple's been leasing Fiat Chrysler-owned proving grounds in Arizona that they're using to test their autonomous vehicles with.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you think, when they're renting cars like that, do you think it's them testing hardware for car, or do you think it's more of a software kind of analysis?
So what they're doing is they're leasing like a facility, like land, and then they're testing their cars on it. So I think that they're probably testing their full car. I don't know. Maybe just their software.
That'd be really cool.
I know. It would be kind of want to get a drone camera in there.
Really? Like, I assume that the R&D department at Apple always has several things going on at once. Like, they could be investigating things that aren't necessarily going to turn into products, but they just want to have their foot in the door if, like, because personally, I do think after the smartphone era is where it's seeing kind of the end of, as things get kind of more generic and displays are all bezel-less and cameras get better and better, and then they get more budget-friendly, like, they run out of their steam, whereas I think the automobile industry is about to experience drastic change.
Yeah.
I could definitely see Apple, you know, being richest company in the world, wanting to get in on that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
totally. So on the car kick, I definitely did watch your Tesla semi truck event reaction video. But I came across this article, which I hadn't really thought about until like I read it. But it's comparing the Bugatti Chiron to the Tesla Roadster. For those who don't know, the Bugatti Chiron's a $3 million supercar. It was the fourth fastest car in the world when it was announced. It was the fastest car in the world, but now when the Tesla Roadster has been announced, it is quite a bit faster in a lot of different areas and not compromising very much, but only costing 6% of the cost. It was pretty crazy.
Jeez, 6%. Yeah. I mean, especially considering it no gas, so even long term.
Yep.
Yeah, and I've heard, I don't know how true this is, but I've heard Teslas don't depreciate over time very much.
Yeah.
Is that true?
I was actually just watching a video today about Model 3 depreciations. It seems to be pretty typical with the Model S, and those depreciate about the same as like a BMW. So they do depreciate, I mean, fairly quickly. I mean, how much is a currently, how much is a 2014 Tesla Model S worth? Probably not all that much. The Roadsters, the original Roadsters, definitely depreciated like in the $45,000 range.
Yeah.
But it's pretty exciting though. Like,
it is. Yeah, I think it's what I loved about that event Elon Musk held with both the semi truck and the Roadster. What was so like smart about that was that he was both conquering the myths about electric cars always having a lower range and being slower, and also doing the opposite end of the spectrum and saying these things couldn't be powerful, they can haul stuff. And it's just like pretty much every stereotype you have with electric cars were killed. I loved it.
Then that Steve Jobs one more thing moment was pretty cool too.
Exactly. Did you watch that live?
I did not watch it live.
I caught it right before the Roadster unveiling. Ooh. So right when I tuned in, the semi truck was being talked about, and they were showing off that, you know, you can have three of them, and the two in the back aren't driving.
Yeah, that's cool.
With drivers, they can like follow and stuff, which is awesome. And then we were watching it, and you know, it faded to black and everything, and then the Roadster came out. They've gone plaid, and I was like, "Oh, this is great!"
Nice, really cool reference for you.
Yes, because our engineer savior of humanity is a 12-year-old kid.
Pretty much.
It's that humor. Yeah, he's fun to listen to because he's always got these great ideas, but at the same time, he's really bad at public speaking.
Yeah, he is. Elon, right? Yeah.
He can't quite get his words right. Which is hilarious because like he's got interesting things to say, but he can't say them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Definitely.
So yeah, I'd really love to see actual genuine competition. Like Tesla's kind of owning it right now.
Get on it. Hurry up.
Exactly. Hop on this self-driving car.
Yeah.
I don't really know of any, like, because Tesla really doesn't have an immediate competitor. There's up and coming concepts. Really. Yeah. What was the name of it? There's like Faraday Future, I think. There's a lot of companies working on battery technology that they say like this will be the Tesla killer, or. Yeah. This is what's up and coming, but I mean, definitely no tech companies really.
No, I mean, GM is always trying to say that they're competing with Tesla, like in their, their Volts and their Bolts. It's like, seriously though?
Oh, that's
true. Things are so 2014.
Yeah. And I remember the Volt, the Chevy Volt.
Yeah. It didn't even have five seats. It was a four seater.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And didn't have the middle back seat, four captain seats.
Yeah, no, it was. Yeah, I mean, there's other ones out there, but there's definitely not as much excitement around it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a very how could you say? There's kind of Tesla sheep, like there's Apple sheep. You know, there's people like MKBHD or Everything Apple Pro that are kind of like excited and pumped for that. Like, when was the last time people were excited for a semi truck? I don't think ever.
Yeah, I can't think of a single time where International got up on a stage and said, "Introducing the new semi-truck," and the whole crowd going insane.
Yeah, did you think anyone in that audience was actually going to get one?
Nope, not a one.
Probably not. But I almost wanted to get one out of just how cool it looks and how it, like, sitting in the center of that with dual monitors. Mm-hmm. You're God of the highway. It's amazing.
Definitely. And then the range, yeah, too. I mean, mm-hmm, without the load, was it 600 and something miles range?
Oh, the truck they said was around 5?
I don't remember. I thought that was with the load, and I thought it was a little higher without a load. But yeah.
Well, yeah, he said that was the base, which is still, yeah, still a competitive price. I know the base priced one, the one that's at $150,000, they said was more in the 300 mile range, but I mean, the trucks are still required to stop after a certain mileage anyway. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it kind of makes sense. I can get it. But at the same time, very competitively priced.
Yeah.
At the same time, I don't know why they didn't talk about the prices on stage, but they updated their website later and said that the 500 mile one was around 180 grand and the 150 grand one was around 300 miles, which is still really good.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Now, what other topics were we going to talk about?
Well, we can always talk about the iPhone 10 if there's nothing else to do.
That's always there. And you didn't get one, right?
I did not. Just due
but
to...
But you did get a new phone.
Yeah, I got an 8 Plus. I had to get a new phone because I lease it. And so I didn't want to wait another 2 months and then like next year not be able to get the new phone when it was out without getting penalized for it. So I was like, yeah, I'll just keep the 8 Plus. I had a 7 before, so going to the 8 Plus was like still an upgrade in a lot of ways. I got dual cameras.
I found it was.
Yeah, so it was still a nice phone. I love it.
Mm-hmm. And the brief time we've talked in the past, I remember you saying that you didn't participate in the portless challenge.
I have not. I am very
sorry.
What is
that? That's okay.
I don't find it a huge inconvenience, and I'm kind of holding out for air power. So when air power comes,
you're waiting for the best.
Yeah, when air power comes, I'm going to get new AirPods, charge my Series 3 Apple Watch, and my 8 Plus all on the same app.
Okay.
That'll be nice.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's even more of an Apple sheet move to say, like, I will not use a third-party wireless charger.
Yeah, well, Apple just included a feature. They didn't reinvent it yet, so I'm waiting for that.
Oh, okay. That's a good point. Definitely. I mean, it was kind of a smart move to say, like, let's wait till Qi chargers are everywhere and supported and then adopt it. But, they definitely didn't innovate on that one. It was just kind of there before, and then they came in at the last minute.
But it does fast charging at 7.5 volts or watts or however that's measured, amps.
Yeah, the wireless. I heard you saying you really liked the fast charge on
iPhone 8. So I think that's the biggest point we differ on. I have a 12-inch MacBook, so I use my MacBook charger all the time, the 29-watt one. And let me tell you, like, I don't even plug it in at night. Like, I'm just sitting at my desk, I plug it in for like an hour, and it goes from 15% to 100 in like an hour. And it's so nice. Although it does get really hot. I'm always kind of worried to touch it.
Yeah, I guess I've never fast charged mine because I still have yet to plug anything into it, but that is nice. I mean, well, a lot of people's complaint is that they say if you want fast charging you have to pay the extra for the brick. That's what I kept bringing up. I was like, if you're buying this phone, you probably already have a USB-C brick, either for your iPad, which a lot of people got, or their MacBook, which it came with. So like, I have the option to fast charge because I still have several USB-C to Lightning cables, and I have my monstrous 87 watt.
Oh, my goodness. Probably melt the iPhone.
Yeah. I read later that USB-C kind of, like, power manages and figures out how much, so I don't think it would hurt it, but, it'd be a little bit weird to try.
Yeah.
I guess I've never tried charging my iPad that way.
Yeah.
Just kind of, I don't
probably
think
charge
about
a little
it.
Faster.
I just plug it in. Probably, yeah. I've never been in too big a rush with my iPad.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it, I've never just been like, charge it fast. But yeah, I mean, it's. I still think that 87 watt has yet to be matched online.
Yeah, I can't think of one.
I can't think of a power brick that is USB-C and over 87. I think that was, which was making me think about air power, because you brought that up earlier. Uh-huh. Like, people at WWDC said it's powered via USB-C, which is good. I'm just curious what the brick is that it comes with. What do you think they would go with?
I personally think it's only going to be 29 watts.
Really? You think it'll be like the MacBook one?
Yeah, I think it'll be the MacBook one. I think it would be overkill. Like, yeah. So each iPhone can theoretically charge on 5 watts. Like, that's not going to be fast, but it will charge. So if you think you put 3 iPhones on it, each charging at 5 watts, that's 15 watts. So they probably wouldn't include the 12-watt adapter, because then it wouldn't be able to charge 3 iPhones. So they probably go one step up, go to the 29-watt adapter, and then they can all charge at, like, 7.5 watts or something, a little faster.
Oh, okay. So you're saying even if you had 3 iPhones on one mat, it would be fast charging for all 3?
Yeah.
Or fast wireless?
Faster wireless, yeah.
Not as fast as a cable, we all understand.
Yeah, definitely.
you've got me beat there.
Well.
But I'm so used to it now, just because I don't use my phone when I'm asleep. So just drop it on the charger, which is right next to my bed. And I got the beta update, which enables the fast wireless charging.
How is that working out? Is it fast charge faster?
I tweeted about it and I said I didn't notice because like I said in my videos, right before I go to sleep, I drop it on there, and then I wake up and it's at 100.
Mm-hmm.
And it did that before, and it still does that now. So I guess I just don't run into that situation in which it's like, oh, shoot, I need to go somewhere, and I don't have much time to charge.
Yeah.
Like, I don't run into that enough, is why I don't really notice it or care about it on all the Android phones that come with it now. They brag about that a lot.
Google Pixel charges in 15 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, yeah.
Ironically, the Pixel, the company, doesn't want to adopt the wireless charging.
I know, I don't get that.
After, I think so they had it on some of the Nexuses.
I don't remember if they did, because I remember the Nexus 5P. Is that a phone? One of my friends is.
I think there was a 6P and a 5X. I believe.
Whichever one kind of looked like an iPhone 5 with the glass on the top and bottom and the aluminum back. That one didn't have wireless charging.
But okay.
That was like the first one. I can't recall. Fast Touch ID sensor.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think I remember which one you're talking about. But yeah, I would think, and they kind of, you've probably heard me say this, but they kind of backed themselves into a corner with this unique glass design that they brag about. Like, they did it on the Pixelbook, where one third of it's glass.
Just gonna put the top third on the wireless charger and hope that works.
Yeah, I mean, that would be awkward, though, wouldn't it?
Very awkward, like tip off the table.
Yeah, like, you can't use your Qi chargers now because your phone would just fall off them.
Yeah.
Unless they start making, like, their own patented, weird-looking Google Pixel wireless chargers that cost $120.
Knowing them,
I don't know. Yeah, it's very bizarre. I don't understand it, because it seems like the Google is out ridiculously Apple, if that's a word.
Yeah,
like overpriced tech that you should buy.
Browser with a keyboard.
Right. Yeah, have you ever seen one?
I have not seen one in person, but there's a bunch of Chromebooks that are around at my school, and I'm just always like, ooh.
Yeah, hope the Wi-Fi I can get the right, because then you are done.
Yep.
Yeah, like, I can get the low price point that I can understand. Yeah. Like, if someone needs a really cheap laptop for school docs, you know, drive that I can get. But when they start making them pricey, I just don't. It doesn't make any sense. It's like, your purpose is to be affordable.
Yep.
And yeah, I believe I reacted to that keynote live, and I was like, if this thing is over $500.
Yep. And they're like, $999. What?
Oh my god. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, it'll run Lightroom. Great.
Right.
What else does it run?
Nothing. Yeah.
Asphalt, which runs on an iPod, you know, like, Speaking of iPods, I was going to ask, I know I didn't write this down,
yeah,
but
whatever.
How do you feel about the fact that they're still selling the Touch? Do you think that's gracious or is that unnecessary?
Back before they discontinued the Nano, the Nano was one of my first Apple devices, and so was the Touch.
Yeah, mine too.
So I had the 7th Gen. I had a long time to wait.
Nice.
But I don't know. I'm kind of glad they keep the Touch around because I think it's a good budget option for kids. But I think even like for little kids, like toddlers or, you know, a screen for Netflix or whatever, basically. But I think like even once they get to middle school, it's almost just more cost effective just to get like an unlocked used 5C or like iPhone 5S or something for $170 still or whatever it is. And
right. I mean, I believe I'll check again here, but you can get an SE for $350
now. Yep.
And, you know, that's brand new. I mean, for a child, I don't know if I'd even buy a brand new phone. Like I feel like it'd be smarter to go refurbished or go online and find a used one.
Yep.
Or, there's just so many cheaper ways to handle that. It's like, what is the iPod still doing here? Like, they've removed it from the top section of the Apple website.
Yeah, it's
under
music
right? now.
Yeah, music,
right.
iPod Touch. Yeah, so one of the things that I think the iPod Touch is still around for is to hit a price point for storage capacity. So it does 128 gigabytes for $299. And
oh, okay.
So before I like got into smartphones, like, you know, actually having my own iPhone, I was looking at that because I did have quite a big iTunes library at the time that I had on my Mac locally,
sure.
but I'd have to play the syncing game. Like, oh, I gotta sync this, and I want to watch this one. So
oh,
I have to unsync
that's right.
That
used
this.
To be a thing.
I know, right? Back in the Stone Ages.
I remember that.
So that
yeah.
that iPod Touch was actually pretty attractive to me because it hit that price point, and you got 128 gigs for $299, which I thought was a pretty good deal comparing to all the other iPhones.
Yeah, and I mean it makes sense because there's no cellular, so you're not going to be streaming really anything unless you're on Wi-Fi. So it kind of makes sense that it's like, well, this is a Wi-Fi only. Better make sure storage is pretty good.
Yep.
So, yeah, I can get that. I'm in the app right now, and they don't in the certified refurbished section, there is nothing.
Ooh.
So you can't even get an iPod Touch cheaper than retail.
Yikes.
From Apple, at least.
Yeah. I think that
there's
wasn't...
quite a few colors.
Yeah. I think there's, what, five? Six with product red, right?
Yeah, quite a lot.
Yeah. I think it was a pretty good and attractive product back when it was announced because they packed, an A8 into it, if I remember correctly?
That sounds right, yeah.
Yep, A8. And it was
it still has an A8.
Yeah, it still has an A8. But at the time, the A8 was last year's phone because it was announced during the 6S.
Correct.
So it was like still a pretty good processor. You got the 4-inch screen, and that was the first time we've seen an A8 on a smaller screen, and so it had like better performance.
True.
And it was also one of the thinnest iOS devices with the iPhone 6 at 6.1 millimeters, if you cared about that.
But, yeah, I remember that, like holding the new iPod Touch back when this design that they still have today, the 5th
gen. Yeah, the 5th gen.
And I was like, that is so thin.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they just have to store less into it because, you know, no cell bands and no Taptic Engine and not even Touch ID. Sometimes I forget about
that. One of Apple's last products with that fingerprint reader.
Yeah, it's like that's below the 5S now. Like, the 5S even had that. And that's gone.
Yeah.
It's amazing they're still selling it. But
I know.
I'd really be curious of the numbers on that, if it's still selling.
I mean, they put them next to the headphones in the Apple store, so they can't be that well.
I imagine I'm guessing both Apple watches and even watch bands are likely outselling the iPod Touch. I just wonder if it's like they have a bunch of them in stock and they're just trying to get rid of them, or if they're still making them. I don't know.
I kind of subscribe to the idea that if you haven't updated it in 2.5-3 years, kill it or update it. Like,
right
at this point, I'd rather just see it disappear than to linger like this, because one of my pet peeves is people who are not like super technically literate, like your average consumer, walking into an Apple store and buying an old Apple product. Like, yes. You don't know how many times yes. I've been hanging around an Apple store and someone buys an iPhone 2 weeks before the iPhone 8 came out. Like, yeah. Literally, one of my coworkers bought an iPhone 7 Plus and she's showing me and she's all excited about it. And inside, I was just like, wait, 2 weeks.
That did that.
Oh, why did you do that? Go return it.
See, that's why I couldn't work at an Apple store. A lot of people say I should do that. And I was like, in that last month before the new iPhone, I wouldn't let anyone buy an iPhone.
No.
The store would probably get mad at me. I would just be telling them, no, don't get it right now. Yeah, it's like, you just wait. You're so close.
Yeah.
So, I could not consciously or with a good soul sell someone an iPhone 7. And I'm sure it happens. I bet people sell iPhone 7s the day before.
Ouch.
Like, I'm sure there's a handful of people that pay, you know, full price for it.
Ouch. That would be the worst. Yeah. Like, after it's been announced, but, like, the day before launch day, it's, like, Thursday at 5 o'clock before the store closes. Someone buys an iPhone. Ooh.
Next day, and then they see it in the news, and they see it everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, my friend Xander bought a 7 Plus, not
product
that
red,
bad,
right?
Not 2 weeks. Yeah, a product red one. So at least it's exclusive.
Yeah.
Like, you can't buy that anymore. But he bought it about a month before the 8 and 10 were announced. And I was like, why?
Ooh.
Why are you doing this? I was very confused.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's not even an average consumer. Like, he knew, and he was just sick of his 6S, but... Yeah. One interesting statistic I found earlier was that the 6S Plus is the same price as a standard 7, which I thought was kind of interesting. Like, that's on the same caliber. Year-old phone versus two-year-old phone.
Yeah, and just the way they have it lined up right now is a little odd. But
do you not like how many options there are? Some people don't like that.
I kind of subscribe to Angela's, what's her last name? The retail lady who got up on stage.
Oh, yeah.
She said during an interview that they have a very diversified iPhone lineup and there's an iPhone for everyone. And I think that that's a really good way to look at it. Because
I think so too.
6 million people bought an iPhone over Black Friday. But
that's right.
Also, there's a $350 iPhone that's brand new and decently spec, does 4K. 32 gigs, you know, looks okay. Might not have 3D touch or some of the cool fancy features, but it's okay. And then they have the 6S for people who want like a larger screen but don't want to go all out. You just want to.
Or a headphone jack.
Yeah, let's not bring that up, please.
If they do want it, it's there.
Yeah, unfortunately. They could get the 7 and get the dual camera lens and.
I've heard that 7 is selling pretty well since the price drop.
Yeah, so I do have a little bit of a breakdown. Just over Black Friday weekend, so like last weekend, between Friday and Sunday, Apple sold an estimated 15 million iPhones, with 6
Holy
million
cow.
Of those being an iPhone 10.
Okay, hold up.
Yeah,
I got to do that math really quick. What would you say is the average price of an iPhone 10?
So I actually did a little further than that.
Great.
Okay. I'm an accountant. That's my job.
That's true. That's not my job.
The analyst said that the 256 gigabyte option was twice as popular as the 64 gigabyte option on the iPhone 10.
Holy cow.
I know. So if you think 6 million iPhone 10s have been sold and like the higher priced one is twice as popular as the lower priced one, that means about 4 million iPhone 10s were sold. And the 4 million iPhone 10s, just over 3 days, right? This is all just over 3 days. 4 million iPhone 10s with the beginning bottom price, not including Apple Care or cases or anything else they might buy, and taxes too, is $1,150. So just over one weekend, Apple made on one model of their iPhone $4.6 billion.
Oh my god.
3 days, 72 hours. Can you believe that?
That's just insane. It's just, that's new levels of, I don't know, success. Like, success for Apple, that's probably
success?
More money than like, oh my god, yeah, success.
Success.
That's probably more money than like all of the Pixel products combined for like the year.
Totally.
No, really, though.
No,
like,
I wouldn't even
do you
say
think
it would
that's
that
true?
High. I think it would be less than a billion.
I don't think like all of the Pixel products combined sold all, like, of all time.
I bet you Apple makes more money in 24 hours than Google does on their Pixel lineup the entire year.
It's very similar to the Android Wear situation. Do you remember the day the Apple Watch came out? They said in the first, well, not the day, but the pre-order period.
Oh, yeah, the pre-orders, like, in the first couple hours?
They pre-ordered more Apple Watches than Android Wear watches had ever been sold. Like, all the developers, not just one in particular, like, not just the Moto 360, but, and Android Wear watches had been out for, like, 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And just in that first day, more Apple Watches than all of the other companies.
Wow.
It's just, yeah, I mean, a lot of people on YouTube, especially in the comments, who want to talk about, you know, how Apple's a joke or how this doesn't... you know, they're not relevant anymore. Apple's dead. They're out of innovation. Like, I love bringing up the statistics, the hard numbers behind people who invest in this and people who are interested in this. And, like, it's so difficult to try to refute. You know, like, they must be doing something right, mm-hmm. despite all of this hate they get. And I'm usually the forefront of that because I get all these comments that are like, how dare you, or I can't believe you, and, like, how can someone actually be this stupid? But at the same time, I feel like I'm still in the majority.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not represented on YouTube, but...
The world gave one company a lot of money. I'd probably guess around $10 billion or so just over that weekend. Oh.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't, like you said, that doesn't count the Apple Care or the... Mm-hmm.
Or even like all the other models. That was just 4 million of the 15 million iPhones. There are another 9 million or 11 million that were just floating around.
Right. And there were Series 3 watches, I'm sure, were selling like hotcakes. Mm-hmm. And they were actually really competitive to get a hold of.
Really?
Yeah. When I did the pre-order for the 8 and the Series 3, and the Apple TV, that's live stream. That was a stressful one as well.
I think the back iPhone 10 live stream was a little more stressful for you.
That's true.
I was feeling stressed for you watching it after the fact.
That was terrifying. I didn't realize they were going to ask for my mother's social security number.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, okay, she's asleep, so I can't get that.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, and luckily I figured it out. But
good.
It's very rewarding and satisfying to be holding a 10 in my hand right now.
I can imagine.
After that whole experience. But the 8 Plus actually, even though I pre-ordered it at midnight and expected the worst,
mm-hmm.
it was not that high in demand.
No.
Like, it turned out on that launch day that I could have just walked straight into the Apple Store having not pre-ordered one, and I still would have got the exact one I wanted.
Yep.
But I didn't know what to expect, so I completely stand by pre-ordering it at midnight. I'm fine with that.
It's kind of fun, though.
Yeah, it is fun. You know, you get excited and you get to see the Apple Store app update and stuff.
Uh-huh.
The one thing that did, though, slip back in shipping times was the Series 3.
Yeah.
Especially with cellular, it was a very good thing I reserved that because it was just a couple hours after I did the pre-order. It was delayed, I think, 3 weeks, 4 weeks back.
Uh-huh.
Like, it was that cellular option, while that may have been like the one really noticeable change, it was a high in demand one. People really wanted this. So I imagine that one selling like crazy too. And you had this idea that I thought was kind of smart, was that we could on the podcast, because this is just for audio listeners and this is not on YouTube as of now. It might be later. That we could kind of just recap on this week for the channel.
Mm-hmm.
So, what did you think of this week's videos? Did you have a favorite? Like, I was trying to figure out when this week started.
Yeah, well, let me think back to that.
The react to the Unbox Therapy one has skyrocketed.
Well, first, let me ask you this: How's demonetization been?
It is not improved at all.
Not improved at all.
Exactly where it is. It's I know a lot of articles get published about how YouTube's making changes and today was especially a crazy one. YouTube updated their app and their Creator Studio app and changed a ton of stuff. And all of it is useless. I hate all of it. Some of it's kind of nice. I'll be a bit more optimistic. So like in the Creator Studio app, which is just an app for YouTube creators to manage their videos and stuff. We can like and dislike comments and favorite them, which should have been there anyway, because you can do that in the YouTube app. So I don't know why creators couldn't do it in the Creator app. So I didn't get that, but it's here now, I guess. And you can see the replies to those comments. So yeah. It's still not optimized for the 10. So that's Oh, and in the wonderful addition that now from the Creator Studio app, you can see how many subscribers you have.
Ooh, that's nice. That wasn't there before?
No. Creator app that would show you how much watch time you've had in the last month, your views, how many subscribers you've gained in the last 30 days, it would not tell you your overall subscriber count.
That's Google for you.
Yeah, the absolute missing the point. And I'm okay with saying all this because we're on the Apple Podcasts app, so I can say whatever I like. Mm-hmm. In fact, they probably like me on here.
Bad Google.
Yes. So the so what came out this week? Are you looking at?
So yeah, I think I did like your Reacts video, but I kind of get why you wouldn't want to continue doing that like every single week.
Sure. It
becomes a complaining channel at that point instead of a
right. And it's kind of YouTube drama in a way because you're talking about other YouTubers and their opinions and why they're not your opinions. And I don't really care to fall into that. That's why I tried to completely coat that video with, you know, I do not hate this guy. I think he's a perfectly good YouTuber, and I think he has a great audience that he's represents very well, and he's obviously a very successful tech channel. I think one of the most, if not the
Unbox Therapy.
Is there a tech channel with more subscribers than him? I can't really think of one. Yeah, like 9 million up there. Uh-huh. And I can't think of a tech YouTuber with more than that. So I guess he does. And what I mean by that is that he does represent the generic, most common YouTube opinion on technology. One of the reasons I expected so much backlash for an Apple biased channel was because I knew that most people who are on YouTube to learn more about technology are there because, you know, they're not buying Apple. If you buy Apple, you don't really go to YouTube to figure out what to buy. You kind of made up your mind. And Apple definitely caters to less of the techie people who are interested in all the phones coming out. They just want that one brand, and they'll get it when it comes out. So I can understand how a guy who always wants to favor the cheaper, the best deal rather than best product. I can understand why he's gained such traction.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So to answer your original question, I kind of liked your Reacts video, but I think my favorite was the Series 4 predictions. I don't
really
know if you named that. Yeah, the one today's video, or not today's video.
Well, whenever they're watching this, but we're recording this on a Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Hey,
so whenever you're, this. I mean, listening, sorry.
I'll have to get used to this in the future.
Yeah, so they've already seen the video that's not out for us yet.
Ooh, cool.
Hopefully, yeah. Tomorrow's video for us is about net neutrality. Which
that's what you mentioned during the other live stream.
Yes, or all the podcasts, all of them. Yeah. If you had any thoughts on that, you're welcome to mention them.
I'm waiting for your video to tell me what net neutrality actually is. I don't know.
I'm worried. I in the video was more focused on my opinion on it and not really what it is. And the reason it's so hard to figure out what it is because it's not very clear. No one really knows basically why these laws are trying to get passed, but all we know is that most of the internet and most of the country really just wants it to stay the way it is. And I feel like that because We have a overwhelming, it's not even a majority, it's like literally everyone. Literally everyone wants something, then we shouldn't change it. It's that simple. So
90%, not everyone, Drew. Not everyone.
Yes. I mean, I feel like it's over 90 though, to be honest. No,
playing like, the devil's advocate.
Yes. I usually try to in topics, you may notice that. Like,
yeah.
When there's a very unpopular opinion, I try to side with that one and figure out why they have a cause or why they may believe that way. Like, yeah. Razer phone and OnePlus 5T, everyone loves them, and cheap phones, things like that. Pixel, everyone loves the Pixel, but that's not really me playing devil's advocate. I just feel like I'm alone and correct. I just like, why does everyone not see what I'm seeing? But yeah, I usually try to understand the counterpoint. And with net neutrality, I don't see it. I don't see what the advantage is to repealing it. If you're unsure, currently we have a law that's been enacted for a while called net neutrality, which we want to keep because it allows internet providers, what enforces internet providers to simply allow the same internet speeds no matter what website you're using. So, you know, you have 250 down, that applies to YouTube, that applies to Netflix, that applies to everywhere. If they repealed net neutrality, which is what's trying to happen, internet providers would have the choice to downthrottle certain websites, meaning that if you don't pay extra for, say, YouTube, it'll load slower than another provider, like, say, Hulu, because Comcast owns a lot of Hulu. So they'll say, we'll make Hulu a better viewing experience than YouTube and hopefully try to persuade you to go to Hulu.
Interesting.
Yeah, which is not really wanted by the community because they'd like their internet to stay the same no matter what site they're using because it's, you know, it's freedom. It means you can watch whatever, wherever, and it'll stay the same speed. Whereas if they repealed it, it would mean that if you wanted YouTube to be in a higher download so that you could watch stuff at a higher speed and it won't be slower, then you have to pay extra, or YouTube will have to pay Comcast extra or whoever. So that would suck for sure.
Totally.
I don't see the advantage. Either.
Thanks for explaining that.
Yeah, that's the basics of it. There's more to it, and the main guy who's trying to repeal it has tried to explain it, and I don't get it. It doesn't. There's no logic behind it, but
there's no good reason why they would want to.
Yeah.
Repeal it. I don't get it.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's confusing that we have to have a discussion like this. It's like,
yeah,
you'd think if all the people of a nation agree on something that it wouldn't be
kind
of
easy to make a decision because. On that.
Right. I mean, just think about, I mean, not to get too political, but just think about elections. Like, it's usually 51% or the Electoral College. That's the winner. And this is one that's way beyond that. It's way beyond majority. It's everyone. Yeah. But what did you think of getting off that depressing topic? What did you think of the 10 plus dummy?
I don't know. So I'm definitely going to buy that one. I have huge hands. Yeah. I'm 6'4", so
plus
phones are just like the perfect size for me. So like the more screen, the better at that point. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed.
Have you tried a 10?
I have at like the Apple Store. I tried not to try it too many times because I didn't want to miss it.
Right, you don't want to get used to that contrast ratio.
Well, I just the few minutes I played with it on an Apple Store, it was kind of funny. I went back to my iPhone. I was just swiping up to go home and. On my 8 plus, and I'm like, wait, right. Wrong phone.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say that. I don't know if it's just me, but I've been pretty good at, because I still have old phones that I use for certain cutaway shots, like or background things. I have my old 6 plus, and usually when I go back to that, I switch pretty good. But yeah, everyone's been saying that they get used to the 10 really quickly.
Yeah, pretty easy phone to get used to.
Mm-hmm. I wonder. I think if they switch to the 10 plus design, which I really hope is true, I don't want the rumors to change because then I'll feel like this dummy was useless.
I don't know if there's much else they could do. I mean, just make the screen bigger. Keeping the notch the same size is important. And I'm glad you brought that up.
Right, because it takes up much less space, which is nice.
I definitely use my percentage indicator on the battery all the time. And so when they first introduced the 10, I was like, really have to go down to control center to see that? Ew.
Yeah, it is kind of an inconvenience, I'd say. I mean, it's nice that it's really easy to check. Mm-hmm. Like, on iPod touches and stuff, it was, like, not an option.
Yeah.
Like, there was no way to check percentage. But now, at least, you access control center pretty regularly, so swiping down from there, I'd say, is pretty simple. But at the same time, yeah, I can get what you're saying. Like, if they could stuff more information up there, I think people would be happier.
Yeah. I think that'll be exciting.
I mean, I think it would be too boring if we had a 5.8 and a 6.3. Vinya Geskin. We talk a lot about future phones and stuff because a lot of the time I'll be working on like a video that's not out yet and I haven't filmed it. I'm working on a Galaxy S9.
Yeah.
Rumors and stuff. The S9. And I like today I texted him and I was like, "Hey, does the S9 have a headphone jack?" And he's just like, "I don't know, probably." And I went, "Okay," and that was it. Yeah. I'll just check with him real quick on stuff.
Probably smart. He's a pretty knowledgeable guy.
Yeah, because he seems to know a lot. Yeah. So he was texting me and he said that he would really prefer a 6.3. He thinks the 6.5 is too much.
The better.
I'm like, if it fits in my pocket.
My first iOS device was an iPad Mini, the very first generation. And I wore cargo pants, and it would like fit into my like side pocket on the cargo pants. And so I could palm it. I could palm it with one hand. It was kind of a stretch, but I could definitely palm it. And
I mean, I think that's how they introduced the Mini on stage, didn't they?
Yeah.
They showed that it could be used with a single hand.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember back. That was a while ago. But yeah, I just remember thinking, I wish this was an iPhone and I could use it as an iPhone.
Right. Well, didn't they have the Mini cellular?
They did, yeah. I was too poor for that.
Oh, yeah. That's fine. But I mean, if you really wanted to.
But then, like, you had to use the telephone on speakerphone and use, like, FaceTime audio. And
yeah, that's true.
Real phone number.
That aspect ratio really doesn't work for a phone. Yeah.
Drew, hello?
Yes. Uh-oh.
Drew, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Drew, hello?
Sorry, did I lose you? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, hello? Can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me? Hello?
Drew, hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. I couldn't hear you before on FaceTime.
Yeah, I could hear you, but I guess you couldn't hear me. Sorry about
that. No, it's okay. We can continue like this, or do you want me to give you a call back on FaceTime?
Oh, was it a...
This is regular call.
Oh, I see what it is. It's a phone call. Oh, okay. Does this work for you? We can just use this.
Fine, doesn't matter.
Continue. Okay.
iPad Mini.
Just got a few minutes later. A few minutes left. Okay. So yeah, Mini would definitely not be really a good phone replacement, but there's like a giant aspect ratio difference between a 10 plus theoretically, a 10 plus and a. But I think I mentioned this in the video, but they would definitely have to move control center somewhere else.
Yeah, it's kind of a bad place to put it, honestly.
Right. I think everyone's kind of agreeing on that. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the fact that everyone's agreeing on it means that they have to alter that, whether it's a future update or iOS 12. That might be something more massive than a slight iOS 11 update.
The great thing is they can do a software update very easily and fix that problem. It's not like it's built into the hardware like the Bixby button. Bixby button on the S8s.
Right. I forget about the Bixby button a lot. Like, I always give credit to Samsung, because I'm like, yeah, they make nice phones. But then, yeah, whenever I use an S8 again, I'm like, that's right, that's there. Why? I don't like that. It's annoying.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're so committed to, like, you need this.
This extra
button. You cannot get rid of it.
Yes.
Yeah. I heard you can alter it in software so that it literally does nothing. I don't know if that's true.
It's kind of pointless.
But you could disable it so that that button just doesn't do anything, which I thought was very bizarre.
That Samsung.
Kind of Samsung admitting that they messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can have that option.
Mm-hmm. Just in case you wanted yeah. it.
The S9 rumors look good. I mean,
yeah,
they're shrinking bezels even further. And they're moving the fingerprint reader to a more ergonomic space. I still don't like it on the back, but it's in a better place than where it was.
Uh-huh.
The rumors are saying they're switching to cameras being vertical, AO, just like the 10,
uh-huh.
And then putting the fingerprint reader underneath all of them. So if that's true, I think they're in for a winner. I think MKBHD will like it a lot, and it'll likely have the first Android processor that's not the Snapdragon 835, but the next gen, the 845, which likely will still be a little slower than the iPhones. But
yeah, I was just looking at Geekbenches of iPhones, and they're kind of out of the world. Like, so the multi
it's amazing.
Yeah, the multi-core score on my iPhone 8 Plus beats out my 12-inch MacBook.
Yep. Oh, that's right.
Yep.
That's kind of what I forgot about that. The 8 Plus. They're on par with certain MacBooks, yeah.
Yeah. It's weird having the thought that your phone is more powerful than your laptop.
Right, right. I mean, it's obviously limited by the software, of course, but at the same time, it makes you think, like, if Apple can do this, why aren't they building the chips for the MacBooks themselves? So like, with the cores they have now, it's usually like, well, I think the A11 is a 6-core, so it's like 2 primary and 4 backups.
Uh-huh.
Or with the iPad, it's 4 primary and 2 backups. So I imagine with the octa-core.
I think this is a secta-core, 6 of them. The A11 Bionic is a 6-core processor, 2 high power and 4 low power.
Correct, yeah. So imagining next generation's octa-core, I'm guessing there must be 6 primary and 2 backups. I don't know. That sounds really crazy. I feel like with that kind of processor, they'll need to ship it with like software that takes advantage of it. Like maybe we could finally get some Final Cut Pro action.
Never.
Never. I've been saying it separate for so many years.
Do you think that iOS devices will ever be like compared to dedicated consoles, just like how powerful they are once game makers get on board?
Well, I think they have the hardware to be console competitors now. I mean, I'm sure my iPad Pro now could graphically be on par or exceed certain consoles for sure. But yeah, I'd like to see if they're making these processors so fast and now they're outperforming MacBooks. Like, show us examples of where they can be used to that caliber, like with that speed.
Yeah, yeah. The iPhone 8 multi-core Geekbench beats out the Nintendo Switch by like a mile and a half. It's pretty crazy.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't the Switch have like a 4200 multi-core?
Yep, you got it. Yep, 4250.
I heard about that. So pitiful. That. And it's like that's wow. That'd be pretty bad for a smartphone, to be honest.
That would be. Can you imagine? Google coming out with the Pixel. You don't need extra cores. We don't have extra cameras. Who needs those? We have AI. You don't need better processors. Put it to the cloud.
I could actually see this video idea coming up. Better processor? No need.
Yeah,
better speakers, no need. Better display, no need. It just keep going with
being
it.
Lighter than just a chipmunk, no need.
So the next pixel will be heavier than a chipmunk. Oh my god.
The world will come to a stop when that happens.
I've been using the Google Home Mini for the past, what's it been? I guess it's not been that long, a couple days.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I really can't say any nice things about it, I'm afraid.
Yeah, well, I know you don't really necessarily like smart speakers, so.
Smart speakers I'm a fan of, I mean, not really smart speakers, but what I am a fan of is good speakers. So that's kind of what I look for when I'm investing in a speaker, because what the Home Mini brings up, and I'll elaborate this on my review, I'm not sure when that's coming up, but is it a speaker with the Google Assistant, or is it the Google Assistant that can also talk? Like, that's what I'm trying to figure out, like, because I don't think this is a good speaker, even for the money. I get that it's cheap, but I wouldn't recommend buying it. Like, it really only sounds okay if you play it at 20% volume and it's just background noise. But I don't feel like that's what a speaker should do. I feel like a speaker should, you know, actually sound good. You should turn it on and be like, wow,
yeah,
that sounds great. And if you are going to make speakers not sound great, it's fine as like an added bonus, you know, like stereo speakers on a smartphone. That sounds nice, like just in case you need it, but that doesn't make it the thing you should listen to all music on. So true. The Home Mini is just a little bit louder than my phone speakers, and a little bit clearer than my iPad.
Yeah, you demonstrated that in the live stream.
Correct, yeah. And I was just like, I feel like Apple has it right. You know, if we're making a smart speaker, it should have those smart things that it can do, you know, through Siri, have those options. But the primary objective of this product is to be a speaker. that should be done correctly. That should be sound good. That's the focus. And that's clearly not the case with the Home Mini. But it's cheap.
It is cheap. And so when it's $4, you can't really argue with it. So
yeah, I mean, at that point, it's next to free. So you're kind of like, okay, if it's nothing,
stealing,
I guess,
money from Google.
It's exactly
makes you feel good.
Oh yeah, I brought that up. It's like, so there's no way it takes this little money to produce the product, so buy it now so that Google doesn't make any money off of it. Yeah,
totally.
Well, hey, it's been fun talking to you. If you had any final closing thoughts, I'm about to do the late night live stream. So if you had anything else to say and wrapping it up.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for your time.
Yes, thank you for taking the initiative.
Next week.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I am happy that we can finally have an audio version for everything. And thank you very much for taking the initiative and saying, I'll do that, I'll cover that, because I've dove into it lightly but been confused and then been sidetracked with other things. So this is great. This is helpful, and I hope the audio listeners enjoy it. And let them know about the Twitter page you made.
Oh, yeah. So we have a new Twitter, Talosive Cast, that we'll be looking at your suggestions and making improvements based on them. It's Talosive and then C-A-S-T.
So if any suggestions that'd be a great place for it. That way, very smartly, Nick, you mentioned we won't have to deal with all the questions on the tech Twitter, because that's already full. So good to separate that. Good move.
Yep.
Okay. Well, this is your Apple Sheep here, and I'll see you in the next one. Thanks for listening.